Right now, though, Hamish Bennett, former Black Cap, joins us to talk cricket. G'day, Hamish. How you doing?
Yeah, good, mate. How you going?
Yeah, good. Thank you, mate. Good. We see yet another test. Looks like it's going to slip away from the Black Caps, looking very much like this is going to be a sweep for the Poms under Baz in his first go-round.
Yeah, it definitely does, mate, unfortunately. He's got our number, really. I think that's just years of watching us play, knowing the way we tick, and he's just taking us apart slowly, really, and it's just showing just his approach that he's given England, he's given them that new life that everyone keeps going on about, but it seems to be really paying off for that bunch of men.
How much do you think Baz has had an influence on bowling plans to our top five? Because our top five really have not performed in either test, in any of the three tests here. I'm looking at these numbers. I mean, Daryl Mitchell and Tom Blundell, I guess, have been the flag bearers for the Black Caps. These stats, Hamish, make for some pretty wow-type reading. In three tests so far, Daryl Mitchell and Tom Blundell have scored 921 runs between them at an average of 92.1. Everyone else in the team, 893 at an average of 17.9.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? I think, getting back to your first point there, he definitely has got our number of that. And I think he'd be all over the strategy, all over the tactics of batting and bowling. That's all what he'd be providing, just, his years of being an international captain and being captain of franchises and that. He knows how batters tick and how game plans work, so he'd have been all over that and just, I guess, using a little bit of the data as well. And I think Stokes as well has got a bit of a part to play too. He's trusted his gut. He's been pretty aggressive for this captaincy. I mean, he didn't have a sweeper last night for a long period with Jack Leach bowling, which is just unheard of, really, a spinner not bowling with any boundary cover, just to try and create those options to take and try and create some wickets. So I think Stokes and McCullum worked really well together, trusting their gut, but also using their tactics as well. So it's really paid off. And I guess for us and anyone watching as well, whether it be a club cricketer or an international cricketer, is sometimes when you're out in the middle, you just got to trust your gut and go with your heart.
There's another Kiwi who maybe doesn't get as much praise as they should, who's also part of that England setup, is Jeetan Patel. I saw Jack Leach interviewed post-game, or post-day four, I should say. He had plenty to say about how Jeetan's improved his game. They shortened his run-up. He's using more overspin as well and trying different things with the ball. And, of course, Jack Leach just took 10 for it in the test.
Yeah, it's an amazing effort, really, for Jack Leach to take 10 for. It's really the game changer, really, considering we didn't play our frontline spinner. I guess Baz sort of was always going to try and create those wickets where we have to play frontline spinners, knowing that we tend to go to our seam options first and sort of look to exhaust those before we chuck the ball to spin. So, and Jeets, well, I mean, that's just the luxury of having a big setup and having lots of money as well, being able to take a spin coach around. He's really just Jack Leach's personal coach, really. When you look at that squad, we just coach Leach and a little bit of Joe Root with their bowling. So have that person you can talk to and go to the whole time, who has been out there and done it in the middle as well. Jeets has some great success in England. We know obviously all the tactics and how to bowl at certain grounds, and I guess for New Zealand as well, how to bowl to certain batters. So yeah, you can only see England really well. They're only going on the up, really. And I guess people have spoken about saying they're not as strong as they could be and they need to play against Australia and all that, but you've got to remember England's, they're without Jofra Archer, Mark Wood, Ollie Robinson, Chris Wokes. So, I mean, you get those guys back and they've actually got a few selection headaches as well.
Jimmy Anderson
as well. So when they do play Australia and they get to play South Africa and they get a few of those guys back, I mean, they're going to be pretty good with their bowling lineup as well. I think where both teams have probably struggled, especially in this third test, is that fourth seam option. Obviously, Stokes carrying that knee niggle. Mm. Daryl Mitchell not bowling as much as probably we need to. I think for us, it's actually shown how much of a loss De Grondheim is, how much he can sort of hold our attack together and be that glue to give us a good balance. I think moving forward for New Zealand, I think Conway potentially probably has to open the batting with Henry Nicholls coming up to four and Daryl Mitchell coming into five, so then De Grondheim can play in bat seven, then we can look to play Ajaz, and then maybe three frontline pace bowlers. So not quite sure where that team sort of lies, but there's probably a lot of combinations New Zealand could use. It's just trying to figure out which is the right one for the right conditions.
I talked to a few people ahead of this third test at Headingley, and everybody said Headingley is a place where you can bowl. You have to bowl a spinner. Why did the Black Caps not bowl a spinner? There seems to be a real reluctance to play Ajaz anywhere that's not an absolute minefield.
Yeah, I'm not really quite sure. I felt as though, especially with the way that we like to play our cricket as well, you know, England was always going to create flatter wickets that required a spinner. I guess we just had that recipe and our success with going with our seam bowlers for so long. So I guess over a long period of time, that builds trust. It's been very, very reliable. It's a safe option and it's a comfortable option. So I guess sometimes, you know, stepping outside your comfort zone and all that can be tough as a captain and can be tough as a team. So I guess that's probably the way they're probably thinking about it. I guess from an outsider's point of view, I guess it's everyone's probably hammered it to death. It would have been great to see Ajaz play, and obviously now if Leach taking 10 for it, probably just runs even more solid to the wound.
Well, it does. And I mean, it feels like, I don't know what you think, but it feels like Kane Williamson doesn't trust Ajaz Patel. I'm picking that he gets the final say. I mean, he takes the 10 for, he doesn't play in either of the test series in New Zealand. Then we go to England. They name him in the first test. He bowls two overs in two innings, then gets dropped and isn't part of the team for the third test where we know it's going to spin. It just makes no sense to me.
I guess it's just because in New Zealand, the seaming conditions, and obviously when we play those four seamers, it obviously our batting depth doesn't go as deep as we would like, even though we've got the world's greatest, well, the best ever number 11 ever to exist in Test history. We probably just don't have that batting depth if we play Ajaz. So I guess for that point of view, when it's favouring seam bowling, it's probably easy to think about the easiest option is to leave Ajaz out of the side and then going into Trent Bridge as well. And Lord's nipped around a bit. It was pretty hard to face seamers from memory. So I guess that's why Ajaz didn't really bowl. I don't think Jack Leach got concussed, didn't he? And Parkinson only really bowled a few overs at the tail. And then heading into Trent Bridge, the wicket was obviously quite, had a bit of moisture day one. So they thought about winning the toss and having a bowl as their best option of winning the test. And then we obviously batted first, and then it became pretty apparent after day one that we were missing Wagner and Ajaz. So I think probably things just haven't turned out the way they would like with their planning, really, just with, you know, winning a few tosses or trying to make the most of the wickets when they had it. And I think that first wicket at Lord's, which was meant to be flat, I think that really threw them off heading into the next test with selection. Because Headingley as well, you know, a lot of sides have not played a spinner there as well. A lot of visiting sides haven't played a spinner there either over the years. So guess they're probably thinking that a little bit as well. But with the way, I guess, Baz ball, as they call it now, or as he calls it on SCNZ, sexy cricket, I think playing Bracewell was, well, they probably just wanted more runs, you know, the ability to score more runs. But, hey, you win tests is by taking 20 wickets. So
exactly.
I think with the way that Baz plays and the English are playing with the off-spin of Bracewell, I know he got a wicket last night, but also went for 17 and 11 overs. They're just going to keep taking him on. So I do like the option of Ajaz with being able to spin the ball away from the right-hander's outside edge.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it feels, I don't know what the right term is here, but it feels a bit backward, I guess, thinking, to be worried about what Ajaz is going to contribute with the bat. I mean, that's not what he's in the team for. You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
Yeah, and then you look at Headingley, right, and you go, Jack Leach had the ball in the first innings after 14 overs, and he took the new ball in the second innings. That tells me that pitch straight away should have been identified by people that know what they're doing as a pitch that was going to take spin.
Yep, spot on. I think they opened the bowling with Jack Leach in the second innings just to rub salt into our wound, just Baz just trying to show that, you know, you can play a spinner and showing New Zealand's reluctance of playing a spinner. So just trying to sort of have that little mind battle. They do call Ajaz the Indian Lara at Central Districts. I know they do that off their social media account. So he has contributed with the bat. He's actually done a very good job with the bat when he has played. So, yeah, it's just one of those ones. I think when you look at the English side and look at the way Baz is thinking, he's always, I mean, it's a mindset that he has. He's always 6 to 12 months ahead of the game where it's progressing anyway. It's going to take a wee while for some teams to catch up and play the style of cricket that England are playing. And for us, I think it's just looking at two teams that are transitioning differently. I think England are transitioning on the way up, and I think unfortunately with age of our guys, where we're at, we're probably transitioning the other way, and a few guys are probably going to call time within the next sort of 12 to 18 months, and I guess we've got to start thinking about our next cycle of players that are coming through. And I think the exciting thing I've taken out of this is there's been so much, I guess, criticism or press about it. It just shows how much of a high standard we've got now for our Black Caps side.
Yeah.
You know, how successful they have been from 2019 or 2015 onwards, and our expectations of the side. So I think, you know, as a player, you can be disappointed with, you know, getting negative press or press that's, you know, offering constructive criticism. But for me, if I was a player in that environment, I think that's actually a good thing, because just shows the standard and the expectations we have of that side now. So it's only a good thing.
That is a good thing. That is a positive thing. Something else, you know, you mentioned Michael Bracewell coming into the team, and there's nothing against Michael Bracewell at all. You know, he's been selected, he's taken his opportunity. But if you rewind a few months, you know, we were being told that Rachin Ravindra was a project at seven to be a spinning all-rounder at test level, and that, you know, he was seen as a guy that could do a real good job for New Zealand. He could be the other de Grondholm when we had spin conditions. Yeah, you know, he's scoring double tons for Durham, and we're putting Michael Bracewell in the team in England. I don't understand that selection either.
Well, I guess it's probably coming from that Dutch series. You know, Brace has had a great, obviously, Super Smash, had great innings in New Plymouth, and then carried it on for the rest of the tournament. And he's always been able to bowl those offies, and he's always been looking to develop it. And I guess when he played against Holland, especially in Hamilton, just the amount of turn he got, purchase, rag, whatever term you want to use, he got against the Dutch. I guess they're really excited, New Zealand selectors and coaching staff, about using him in England. He's obviously an experienced top-order batter. They probably thought with the ball moving around in those conditions, probably needed a bit more experience. He's got good leadership as well. So I think he ticks a lot of the other boxes off the field as well. So yeah, but you're right, we did hear that a lot about Ravindra, but I think Ravindra will do that role, whether he'll open the batting or he'll bat in the middle order and be able to bowl. I think, for mine, I just think they'd probably rush Ravindra a touch. You know, he hasn't played that much for Wellington in first-class cricket. Probably needs to dominate playing for Wellington, especially with the ball as well. Hasn't really bowled much for Wellington with the ball, bowled here and there. Probably needs to, I think for his development, needs to have a good season of first-class cricket, bowling lots of overs, being the first-choice spinner. Obviously going to be tough now with Bracewell there as well, but when Bracewell is away, that he needs to bowl a lot of overs and score a lot of runs and take that responsibility at first-class level. I think it's something that I think a lot of sporting organisations do. They sort of tout their next sort of diamonds, I guess you would call them, and probably rush them a little bit early, whereas with Ravindra, ideally you would want him to play a lot more first-class cricket for Wellington, and then when you get him in, keep him in. I think it's tough on a young guy's psyche, you know, 22 years old, I think he is, coming in and out of the national side, and when he's playing, probably not contributing or doing as much of his role as he'd like, and then can come back to Wellington and plays a completely different role. So he probably comes back a little bit confused. I think they need to probably have a better alignment of around his role, because at the moment for Wellington, he's an opening batter who bowls the odd over, and then when he goes to New Zealand, he's a bowler. Well, he's playing as a genuine all-rounder, so it's pretty tough on the kid with expectations of his bowling, considering he doesn't bowl as much as he needs to for Wellington.
Do you think there's anything, and this is a conversation I've had before with Mitch McLennigan, do you think there's anything from a New Zealand cricket point of view, and this is probably on Stead and White rather than Kane, you know, they made the call to not give Jimmy Neesham a contract, and they gave one to Michael Bracewell, and so they had to justify that decision by selecting him?
I think the way the ranking system works with the contracts, I mean, Jimmy wouldn't have got any Red Bull ranking points. He obviously hasn't been picked either, I don't think, in those ODIs the Stag do trip, you know, against Ireland, Scotland and Holland. So I guess just for Neesham, it's a hard one, because the way the contracting system works, if you play Red Bull cricket, if you're in the top 15, you know, at the time of the contracts, you're going to get a contract with the way the system works. It's for someone like Jimmy, who's obviously a big T20 player, you know, and a strong in that format, but not strong in the other formats, you're just never going to get a contract. So it's not really down to, I guess, you know, their perception of him or what they want him to do. I guess it's just the way the contracting system works, and whether that needs to be looked at or you know, and if it was to be looked at, how that would work. It's always tough, I guess, because we're trying to, New Zealand's trying to put make sure that Test cricket's still the pinnacle, so that gets a lot more points in the ranking system as opposed to T20 cricket.
Yeah, I was just having a look. Nisha's been called in for that. Not the ODI against Scotland, I don't think, but for all the white ball stuff, all the T20 stuff, he's in the team. But yeah, it's an interesting one, mate. I think there are some questions around maybe some of the management. I also look at our coaching IP. You know, we've been told, particularly by Dave White in the past, that people like Brendan and Daniel Vettori and Stephen Fleming aren't interested in coaching at international level. Yet we see Baz now at England, Vettori at Australia, Jeets obviously. Are we in danger of losing some of our best coaching IP, maybe because we've got guys that think outside the box that don't fit in where people like Dave White and Gary Stead see us going?
I wouldn't say Gary Stead fits right in the box either. I think it's more to do just, I think personally, just with the whole, I'm not sure if it comes from Sport New Zealand, but the way they do those coaching courses, I'm not sure what they're called, I sort of accelerating coaching courses, I think they're called, with Sport New Zealand, with a whole heap of people come in from, you know, different sports, and they sort of run a sort of a coaching course of, you know, planning and processes and everything like that. And I think that sort of maybe dulls down our coaches. I mean, I look at Scott Robinson as well. You know, like people say, you know, I read articles, he'll never coach the All Blacks because he break dances after they win. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't care if he break dance after we won the World Cup, as long as we win the World Cup. I think all the best coaches around the world have something different that they do, and they're authentic to themselves. You know, that's what Baz has done. He's willing to fall on a sword. Looks like Scott Robinson's willing to fall on a sword, playing the way he plays and being the person he is. And I look at, you know, rugby league, I look at Wayne Bennett. You know, he used to train with the guys and run with the guys, and still holds, I think, the third fastest time trial for the run they do, the 8K run the Broncos used to do. So everyone does stuff differently, and I think the coaches that have probably had the most success in their coaching life probably haven't done those coaching courses. They've just been authentic to themselves. You know, you listen to Mourinho when he got asked what his coaching philosophy was, and he said, "What's a philosophy? I just coach to win." So it's one of those things. I think if you are looking to get into coaching or you want to be a coach, then you just got to make sure that your game plan and how you go about it's completely authentic to yourself, and you're not trying to be someone that you're not.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Hamish. Hey, listen, thanks very much for coming on, mate. I really appreciate it. One day to go. A chance out of 100 that the Black Caps can win this last test?
It's probably not great numbers at the moment, is it? We're going to have to start with a massive hiss and a roar. I think Bolton Southie will obviously open the bowling, and they're probably going to take at least probably three between them in the first 10 overs, I would have thought, to try and stop the bleeding and then try and get some control of this game. But a few early wickets were made for some great viewing, wouldn't it? But, I don't know. I don't think it'd be that high, unfortunately.
All right. Yeah, good stuff, Hamish. Go well, mate. Enjoy your day, and we'll catch up with you soon, eh?
Awesome. Cheers, mate. Have a good one.